All right, it is Sunday morning. Time to look through the window of baseball for Truett and White and Marvin Windows. Of course, they've got the new showroom in Monterey. And we bring in our good friend from the Chronicle, Bruce Jenkins. Bruce, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Marty. How's it going today?
Well, you know, we had a little bit of news this morning. You know, it's so funny in spring training, and you've covered it so many times. You could have a ball club that has 23 spots nailed down. And everyone will talk about the last two spots forever, even though you set an over-under on how many games Adrianza will get in the first 2 months. It may be 10.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. It's funny, though. I mean, the way this is coming down with a second base position, there's quite a bit of drama and anticipation there, depending on what happens with Scudero. So it takes on a little bit more importance, I guess. But I'm kind of glad to see, if it looks like Hicks is going to make the team, I'm kind of in favor of that. I mean, we've seen Abreu, and he's a decent player. I don't think he's an everyday guy, though. And I think maybe Hicks, I don't know if he bats second because he tends to strike out a little bit. But, you know, let's see something new in there.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you know, in baseball today, just like job searches, if you hold out to six-year free agents and say, come here, come here, come here, if you do well, you got a shot. If someone hits 430 and hits a bunch of home runs and plays every infield position and there is an opening, you're almost compelled to give the guy a shot.
Yeah, especially when you've already seen it, I think it makes it a little bit easier when you've already seen the other guy in the big leagues, you know, in the case of Abreu, who didn't blow you away. It'd be like somebody going up against Kieschnick. Well, you've seen Kieschnick, and he, you know, it's easy to just go ahead and go with the other guy because it's a new look, whoever it might be. But in this case, you know, Hicks is a guy who's got some power. He can play short or second. And who knows, maybe he's ready to take this job. It'd be interesting.
Yeah, he's 28 years old. And, you know, in baseball, I love the phrases of baseball. You know, they say he can run into one. This guy could run into one.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a big compliment, but
no, it's. I used to think it was, you know, that until I realized what they meant.
Yeah,
it means if you swing all the time, you may hit one once in a while.
Yeah, he could run into a fire hydrant on behind the wheel.
But he's out there today. He's taking some ground balls at short. The opening day lineup is pretty close to being in there today. I'll tell it to you, Bruce. They got Pagan leading off, Belt in the two spot. And we're going to talk about number two hitters in baseball and what baseball has turned into with this guy. He's second, Sandoval third, Posey fourth, Pence fifth, Blanco in left today, no Morse. Although Morse says he thinks he'll get in the game later, which makes no sense to me. If he's getting in the game, why not play now?
Yeah.
Arias is at second, and I think that's what we're going to see opening day. Mm-hmm. Crawford at short, and Lincecum on the mound. So we're pretty close to the opening day lineup.
Yeah, that sounds good. Adrianza makes the most sense, I think. He's starting at second today?
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes the most sense to start the season at second, just on the experience factor. And as far as the number two hitter, though, I don't know if you necessarily plug Arias in there. It's you mentioned that the game has really changed in terms of who hits second. I mean, I did a piece last year, and some of the guys who are hitting second, they're like the best hitters on the team. You know,
right.
Mike Trout was in there. I mean, you name it, almost up and down every lineup. You're looking at a guy who would normally hit third or fifth is all of a sudden hitting second just to give him more at bats. I think in the Giants' case, as long as Belt is making contact and not striking out too much on those, you know, low and away sliders or getting busted inside and not being able to handle it, and it seems like he's improved in that regard, he's probably the best answer as a number two hitter.
Yeah, I love it because, you know, for me, you know, you turn that order over, and of course when Bonds was here in Kent, you know, he always looked, uh-oh, you're turning the order over, we better be careful. And you turn the order over here, and, you know, you go for whatever it's worth. If they have decent seasons, you got Pagan, Belt, Sandoval, Posey, Pence, and then Morse.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if they did have a healthy Scudero, it would make sense to go to the old traditional, you know, number two hitter who drops a bunt, hits the ball to the right side, and does all those things because Pagan has the speed at the top. But without him, if you go Belt, I mean, to me it looks like a pretty dangerous order. I mean, you're optimistic everybody puts up the numbers they should, but if they do, like you said, I mean, that's, you know, then you go two through six, it's pretty darn tough.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah,
the Arias situation is interesting, Bruce, because he's a guy, you know, with bench guys, you don't want to wear them down, use them too much. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, if he gets the nod at second base, if Scudero is not ready, and let's say Scudero goes to the minor leagues on a rehab, whatever, but I think Hicks and Adrianza will get a little playing time with Arias. I don't think you wear him down every day. I think the bench becomes a little more interesting for this ball club.
And even if you didn't wear him down, even if he was fresh, he doesn't have the bat that sustains a 285 average, I don't think. And, you know, given that, you're going to want to look at some of these guys. And I say bring it on. I mean, I'd really especially like to see Hicks, just for the heck of it. I mean, he's not going to play every day either, but he's going to get his shot probably, and that'll be good to see. There's nothing like evaluating a guy, you know, in the heat of the season instead of March 23rd.
Yeah, I think he's going to be here. It's not set in stone. I mean, Scudero could make one of the miraculous recoveries of all time. You know, that could happen, but I doubt it. So I think he'll be here. You know, so the bench is getting to... Well, you and I talked a little bit about this yesterday. Perez is here. Colvin, you know, has an opt-out March 31st, so maybe he'll want to opt out, or maybe he realizes he could get some playing time here, but... All of a sudden, the bench looks like, you know, they can do some, you know, in a National League where you have to double switch, you have pinch hitters, it's a bench that you could go to and people can actually come off the bench and hurt you.
Yeah, Hector Sanchez will be one of those guys. It would seem that Perez has got the edge over Coleman right now. He certainly didn't hurt himself by hitting the 3-run homer yesterday, but he's a terrific outfielder. He really is. And if he can hit at all, I think he's the guy that wins that job, because he can run, he can throw. I mean, he's ready. Coleman's got the bad back, and you feel bad for him. You know, fully healthy, maybe you'd rather go with that left-handed power off the bench. But I think right now, you might be looking at Perez.
Yeah, I think so. I'd say he's got everything's anatomy here. He's got a leg up on it. Let's put it that
way.
He's got that. You know, the best pinch hitter, though, believe it or not, is Hector Sanchez, and you can't use him
because of the catching angle.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you can use him, but I mean, it's just it puts you in a real bind if something goes wrong. I mean, Sandoval could get behind the plate if it was absolutely necessary. But yeah, that is a shame, and it's not going to be. I don't think it's going to be a world beating bench, but I don't think you're going to see that on any of the teams in the Giants division. The Dodgers bench has taken some big hits. Arizona's doesn't look anything particularly special, so you know, we'll see.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If there is a need for a real pinch hitter off this bench and Sanchez is the guy, I'm going to advocate for a third catcher. You know.
Well, it may come to that because, like you say, it could very well be that he's by far your best option to deliver a hit or an extra base hit, maybe hit the long ball. And if that's the case, you just can't afford to have him sit there, you know, because maybe this or maybe that. He has to be the guy, so you do go with a third catcher, and now you've weakened your bench in other ways. I've advocated this for so long, I get tired of hearing myself say it, but I really wish they would expand the rosters, in the National League especially. I mean, in the American League, I see the Yankees, the last time I read, they're going to go with 12 pitchers and a four-man bench. Now, I know you don't need that many sometimes with a DH, but this is ridiculous. You're getting these long, crazy games, and you run out of players, then you got your right fielder pitching, and you know, it's just I just think it's crazy. The benches are way too thin.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I would go for one more guy, and I think it should be like an extra catcher so you can do this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Hey, Bruce Jenkins is with us. Replay, they didn't have it down in the games in Australia. I guess they didn't have the technology. Mm-hmm. But, boy, I watched the game last night. The Dodgers had speed. The secondary bullpen maybe a little bit of trouble, but they're gonna be an offensive force. And I was thinking about it last night watching the game. I said, you know, Lincecum and Vogelsong and Kane and Bumgarner Hudson, they're going to have to pitch against the old Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah, one thing that I noticed down there with the Dodgers was D. Gordon looked quite a bit better at the plate.
Yeah.
I kind of took a shot at him in the paper a week ago, just based on everything the scouts have said and what you've seen from him up to now, is that he's just not an on-base guy. He doesn't make good enough contact to get on base and use his phenomenal speed. But he's Dave Lopes has been raving about this guy's character for 2 years, and you know, he comes from good stock. He's Tom Gordon's son, and you know, great guy and talented in the field. And if he does get this leadoff thing down, because I mean, they let off with Puig for one game, and then the next game it was D. Gordon. And he might just stay there if he can get on base. That really makes them dangerous because they've got that good heart of the order, too. And, of course, Puig's already in hot water with Mattingly. I love that.
It didn't
take long, did it?
No, it didn't. And, you know, we're going to see him a lot, and you know that. And but this guy, when he takes a swing, if I'm on third base, if I'm the third baseman, I'm moving back.
Oh, God. And he made one of the dumbest base running mistakes I've ever seen last night. A routine single to left, okay?
Right.
Run scores, and all of a sudden he's breaking for second. He's out by a million miles. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah, he wanted the guy on third to score, I guess. I guess that's in the rundown. He was sort of directing traffic in the rundown. That was good. Hey, something about replay hit me this morning a little bit. You know, National League games are so close. There's low-scoring games, much different than the DH. Do you think we'll see more replay on anything that can lead to a run? Now, what I mean, two out and a third out could end an inning. Or a play that can extend an inning, or a play at the plate. I think we're going to see replay in the National League more than people think.
Yeah, because the stats, you know, for what they're worth, they show that, you know, games are not normally filled with blown calls, you know, really bad ones. And if you get a call that you think costs you a run, I think you got to pull the trigger on that challenge, no matter what the inning or the situation. If it's a close game. I don't think managers are going to wait thinking, well, you know, maybe this run doesn't mean that much, because it generally tends to mean a lot. And I agree with that. It's going to be interesting to see. I mean, not all managers will think the same, and it'll be, you know, we'll be scouting managers now on their ability to pull the trigger on the challenge. You know?
Yeah, and also the secondary people who are looking at it in the runway.
Yeah, exactly.
Sean Dunstan, really, Sean Dunstan and the batting practice pitcher, they got a new job. Yes, and you know, funny. It said in the notes today that they were up in the box yesterday. There was no replay, but they were studying the monitors. And it's funny, they were to my right, and I'm looking at them, and they were so serious during the game. I mean, really, it was 8-0 at some point. And I said, why are they looking so intently? Now I understand that. I guess they were scouting the monitors.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's spring training for them too. I mean, that's a huge job. You want to be on top of that. Are you going to? If you lose that job, that's kind of an embarrassment. So.
Yeah. One last thought for you before we let Bruce go. The shift. You know, and I noticed this down here. I'm seeing more teams shift that never shifted before. Now, I know Joe Maddon, and there's all sorts of stats on where guys hit. And the other day, Belt dropped a bunt down the third baseline when the shift was against him. I think with San Diego. I think we're going to see more shift, and I think we're going to see the Giants do it, and I don't remember the Giants ever doing it.
No, well, the success rate is everything there. I mean, if it's working for you most of the time, you stay with it. It only takes a couple times to get burned, and you look pretty bad there. But I love to see any time there's a shift, I love to see a guy drop a bunt down there. It's like, take that. You know, let's see what you're going to do with this. I'm not going to dead pull everything and, a better hitter than you think I am, so... other guys, if they're dead pull, they're dead pull, and they're not going to change for anybody, and it might work. But that's a dicey situation. Your success rate is everything, and if you get burned, all of a sudden, whoops, they're playing me straight up again.
Well, and the thing is, baseball, everybody follows everybody. You know that. So if all of a sudden something looks good, everybody's going to do it.
Exactly.
And this, I'm telling you, this is coming here. Right, get ready at AT&T Park for the shift.
You will have said it first.
Hey, I saw a picture today from 1946 of the All-Star Game, and it's a picture of Ted Williams and Charlie Keller, King Kong Keller. After the game, I guess Williams and Keller had big home runs in the game or something like that. And their shirts, their chests were exposed. Not one muscle.
Absolutely.
Bruce, I swear to you, not one.
Exactly. That's why for so many years in baseball it was advised to not lift a lot of weights. I mean, look at this guy, or look at that guy, look at Babe Ruth. And there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you can get yourself strong, but you can also get yourself too muscular and too tight. And I'm always wary of a guy who's too muscle bound, doesn't have that flexibility. But yeah, that's the greatest hitter of all time was. He was no wimp, believe me. Them. He's the guy was a war hero, but. You don't need biceps to hit 400, kids.
It's the chest. You look at the picture of him, and it looked like my 12-year-old. You know, it looked like a kid. I swear to you, it looked like a kid. He'd never done a push-up in his life.
It's all in the wrists and the eyes, kids.
Isn't it amazing? It really is amazing. All right. Hey, good to talk to you.
Oh, you bet, Marty.
As always, see you next week.
Okay.
All right, that is Bruce Jenkins. Always a pleasure to have him on. All right, more coming up on KNBR 680, the sports leader.